the story, doesn't it? I like some of the songs that have been written in the last few years. Really, it talks about the incarnation. So we're going to talk about Son of God, Son of Man. It's the blending, the miracle of how that God came down and become man, took on a human form, lived among us, showed us how to live. The incarnation sometimes seems so mysterious because it's hard to see Jesus sometimes in the light of change that microphone a little bit there, to see Jesus in the form of humanity. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 8, says, being in the form of God, that form of God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as man, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so we see there four instances: the form of God, form of a bondservant, likeness of men, found in appearance as a man. And a lot of times when we talk about the incarnation, that it sometimes to see Jesus in that from that human side seems almost irreverent to us, sometimes uncomfortable, because it'd be much easier to take humanity out of the incarnation. And because a lot of times to us, we like that beautiful, serene a picture of the manger scene. It seems more holy if we don't add the human side, but we need to, because that shows us how far God actually came for us. Think of it, eternity, interrupted time, divinity, interrupted carnality, heaven, interrupted the earth in the form of a baby, conceived by the union of divine grace and our grace.
Can I interrupt you? There we go.
So, our the union of God's divine grace and our disgrace as humans is because of sin. And any minute, you know, Mary was to give birth, not to any child, but to the Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. Really hard sometimes to wrap our mind around this. And so in John 1, verse 14, talks about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So where it records another place, the Word was with God. The Word was God. And now we see the Word becomes flesh, becomes like you and I. Think of it a moment that God, who created time, didn't even exist. He existed in eternity. And then he came and lived in time. He wrote his own story. Our Bible shows us that story. We've talked about it over a number of weeks in our Wednesday night services about the story. And here's the interesting thing. He wrote the story, but then he came and lived out the story. I can always remember when I was growing up of the old picture viewers. Now, I'm not old enough. I'm not talking about the ones that were on a, you know, rod that long. But I'm talking about the little picture viewer. How many of you had one or know what I'm talking about. They were in 3D color, very beautifully colored. And I can remember looking at those stories as a child, thinking that I was right in the picture. And, of course, we go to 3D movies and those types of things to try to become a part of. And even today, we have virtual reality where, you know, you're doing these things. You're acting those particular things out. But if we can just think and not really to imagine, but to have faith in the fact that the creator of life created everything that exists, and now he was being created. He was a one-celled embryo in the womb of Mary. And it was when the glory of heaven moved into our neighborhood, or like kids say today, he moved into our hood. Jesus, God, moved into our hood. Wants to move in with us. Can you imagine that? Wants to move in with us. Have you got any room for him? Remember, there wasn't any room in the inn. Hope you've got room. Christmas is really a picture of how far God came for us. Even his parents were a little bit marveled at what was being said to them about this baby that was going to be born. In Luke, it talks about, in several places, it says his parents marveled at those things spoken of him. And his mother, another time, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Remember when they went to find him in Jerusalem? And what are you doing? Where have you been? Don't you know I need to be about my father's business? And so she pondered, his parents pondered those things. Think of it, God now dependent on Mary and Joseph for his well-being. And yet at one time, he held and watched over the universe. How far he came. In Matthew 1:21, we see his name. It says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Most parents get to name their babies. We talk about it sometimes for months when we know they're coming. But God said, here's what I want you to name him, Jesus. It's interesting that in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that it mentions the name Jesus 600 times. 700 years before that Jesus even came, there was the prophecy given that his name would be called Jesus. Dr. Maxwell Maltz tells a true story of what love is like. It's an illustration of what God's love is like. But a man had been burned and disfigured in a fire while attempting to save his parents from a burning house. But he couldn't get to them. They perished. He mistakenly interpreted his pain as God's punishment. The man would not let anyone see him, not even his wife. She went to Dr. Maltz, he was a plastic surgeon, for help. He told her not to worry, I can restore his face. And the wife was unenthused. Her husband had repeatedly refused any help. She knew that he would again. Then why your visit? I want you to disfigure my face so I can be like him. If I can share his pain, maybe he'll let me back in his life. Dr. Maltz was shocked. He denied her request, but was so moved by her love that he went to speak with her husband. Knocking on the man's bedroom door, he called loudly, "I'm a plastic surgeon, and I can restore your face." There was no response. "Please come out." And again, there was no answer. Still speaking through the door, Dr. Maltz told the man of his wife's proposal. "She wants me to disfigure her face to make her face like yours, in the hope that you will let her back into your life. That's how much she loves you." There was a brief moment of silence, and then, ever so slowly, the doorknob began to turn. The way the woman felt for her husband is the very way that God feels for us. But he did more than make the offer. He took on our face, our disfigurement. He became like us. Just look at the places he was willing to go. Feed troughs, carpentry shops, badlands, cemeteries. The places he went to reach us show how far he will go to touch us. He loves to be with the ones he loves. Jesus stands at the door yet today, knocking. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." He's knocking. Well, you know, as we examine babies when they're little, I think all of us can remember when our children are born, our grandchildren are born. Remember holding them, looking at their little hands, their little feet, their little eyes. Sometimes just thinking, how is it possible? But I want you to know that God came like that to this earth. One of the things that all of us need to get when we prepare the baby's room or we prepare for a baby to come is a nightlight. How many of you, you know, went to shop for a nightlight so that we could light the darkness? Well, I like the nightlight that God prepared for Jesus coming. It's in Luke 2, verse 8 through 12. "Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night." You know, aren't you glad for those who work the night shift? Think of all the people in our community, our lives that work the night shift. And the shepherds were working the night shift. But remember, God works the night shift also. Never sleeps. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." At a nightlight, he had his own star. You know, Hollywood doesn't have anything over God. They put their stars in the walk. I can remember, of course, it dates me. I can remember when the Beatles thought they were more popular than Jesus. But they didn't have a star like he had, did they? And it was there that wise men discovered and followed it. And, you know, it's not so much that Jesus was found, but Jesus found us. Think of that. We didn't find him. The Bible says, you know, that he saved us. He brings those things about. But just think of it for a few moments with me with some of the things that are characteristic to babies. Can you imagine God sleeping? He never sleeps, does he? He's always awake, but when he came, the side of his humanity. So many times we think of Jesus doing everything that he did by supernatural powers because he was God. But he laid all of those things down, became just like you and I, so he could show us the way. God sleeping, think of him being burped on his parents' shoulders. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Little eyes that shed tears. But I bet he was a good baby. Think of it. He was the maker of sight and sound. He coughed. He sneezed. He cooed at his parents. As he laid in their arms, his tiny face, his nose, his eyes, his ears, and a tiny tongue that would learn to talk. Think of that. They had to teach him how to talk. Those one syllable things that they would speak, you know, dada or mama. I don't know if they did in the Jewish culture. But they taught him how to talk. The one that created sound and all of these things. Someday, that tiny little talk, that tiny little tongue, would summon the dead forth from the grave. He would define grace as he lived on this earth. And he would silence all the foolishness of those that would say otherwise. We think of his little hands. Someday they would touch the leper, would touch those that were sick and diseased, would touch those that were crippled, those that were deaf and blind. And then, listen to me carefully, they would hold the nails on a cross. The nails didn't hold him. He held the nails. Tiny feet. You know, I every time I see a small baby, the first thing I do is reach down to their tiny little hands or their feet. But you're just thrilled when they clutch your finger with their little hand. Isn't it a great feeling to think how marvelous, how great it is? And yet, our God took on all of those things. Tiny little feet that would learn how to walk. And imagine Mary and Joseph holding his little hands up, teaching him how to walk. Later, those same feet would walk trails of dust that he would travel on. Cold seawater would be what he would feel as he walked on the water. And then also bear the nails on the cross. And last, a tiny heart. Think of it, pumping the precious blood that would be spilled out for our salvation. And that makes it possible for our eternal relationship with God once again. That precious blood pumping through his veins, his arteries, for you and me. Well, for 33 years, he would feel and experience everything that we have experienced and felt, even our sin. Hebrews, it talks about he sympathized with our suffering because he suffered what we suffer, even beyond what we would ever suffer. The first moment at in Bethlehem went unnoticed pretty much by the world. But there's guaranteed a second coming, and I don't think it'll be unnoticed. Every eye will see him. Everyone will know. Revelation 1, 7 says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen. God bless you.
And if you bow your hearts and heads with me this morning as we respond to God's word, what a wonderful reminder today of the humanity of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, making his dwelling among us. I want to speak to two different levels to you for just a moment. First of all, for those of you that are here that know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and your personal Savior, my prayer for you is, as I was praying in the chapel before the service, a thought just sort of dropped in my mind that we need to shift our focus from the mall to the manger. And sometimes even for Christians that can be hard to do, because there's all of the list of things that we feel like we need to accomplish. Have I got all of the gifts? If you're like me, I'm one of those people sort of plan ahead. There's just one or two things left. Although you may be one of those personalities that sort of thrive on the last minute, you may have a lot of things on your list. Maybe you haven't even started yet. You know, it's so easy, whether we got a lot to do or a little bit to do, to focus upon those expectations. But my prayer is, if you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, that when Christ made his dwelling in Bethlehem in this world, that he'll make his dwelling in our hearts, our lives, our schedules, and specifically this next week that leads to Christmas. So I want to pray for you today. Father, I pray for every person here that has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, they heard this morning Pastor Oscar talking about Jesus becoming the Son of Man while remaining the Son of God. Lord, I thank you for every person here that's experienced him as the Son of God, as their Savior, as the Lord of their lives. And Lord, just because Christ is in our life does not mean everything is perfect. Doesn't mean we don't face challenges. And Lord, there are those here today that are no doubt facing challenges. I especially pray for those that are facing this first Christmas season, this first Christmas day, this coming new year, Lord, without a person that they loved so very much, a husband, a wife, a son, daughter, brother, sister, a close friend, Lord, that you would just comfort them with the comfort of Christ. So many in our congregation during this past year experienced the loss, the homegoing of someone they love so very much. And Lord, may the comfort of Christ just comfort them during this Christmas season. Lord, for those who are dealing with illness, and we saw so many on the list this morning that we called out their name to you in prayer, Lord, we equally ask, Lord God, that you would comfort them, that you would bring healing to them, that you, the great physician, would lay your hand of healing upon them. And Lord, in the busyness of these final days towards Christmas, may our heart and our focus shift from the presents that we need to get for others or what presents we will receive ourselves to the greatest gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in the midst of all that we have to do, Lord, may that great reality break through in our lives.